It's 2:20 a.m. in the shallow, and you're listening to Night Call.
Hello, and welcome to Night Call, a podcast for your strange days and lonely nights. My name is Emily Yoshida. I am in New York with a kind of frog in my throat. I'm sorry, everybody. And on the other line in Los Angeles, we have
Molly Lambert. I'm the frog. And joining me is
Tess Lynch. I'm not a reptile or amphibian. And also today we have a special guest, Jack O'Brien.
Hi. Hey. Thanks for having me, guys. I'm excited to be here. I'm a big fan of the show. And I was saying before we started recording, super intimidated by last week's guest because I have not seen any ghosts, let alone like 30.
Richard Rushfield has definitely out-ghosted everyone here, but Jack is the co-host of the wonderful Daily Zeitgeist on How Stuff Works. It's a daily podcast that really, you guys talk about pretty much everything.
We try to cover it all.
And it's really awesome. Molly and I were lucky enough to guest a little while ago, so we are very thrilled to have Jack here today.
We're very excited that Jack is here for our A Star is Born special.
Wait, I have a question, star. Jack. How do you do a daily podcast? Because I feel like it just seems like such an amazing feat to do.
It's like exhausting.
Logistically.
Yeah. Yeah. We were both came in this morning talking about like what we did for self-care over the weekend because last week was brutal. Yeah. I saw A Star is Born for my self-care and my
co-host. I feel like that was a lot of people's.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. My co-host ate a bunch of horrible food. So,
what kind of horrible food? Because we do talk about that on the podcast.
It's like fancy.
We are not supposed to talk about the horrible food, though. Okay,
yes,
we got a cease and desist.
Okay, but that was specifically about one condiment.
We did a deep dive into that condiment on our show as well.
Really? You did?
Yeah.
We're talking about.
I know. Just that condiment.
Yeah.
I just want to know what Jack and Miles think.
We more did a deep dive on the article that brought it to everyone's attention.
Right.
Just did a close reading and tried to kind of get a feel for the author and her intentions.
Jack, are you yay or nay?
I'm in between.
Yayo or nayo?
I am situational.
Molly, stop it. Emily.
Yes.
Speaking of all the real news, Emily, you went to D.C. this weekend.
I did. I made a very spur of the moment decision to go to D.C. After seeing Star is Born, after having my self-care on Friday. And I had some frequent flyer miles to burn, and you know, I'm not saving up for anything in particular. So I was like, what are these for if not to go be physically present at politically in a moment of despair and heartbreak? So that's what I did. I went to DC by myself, and basically just for the day. I had a return flight for the next day, and then I was so exhausted by like 6 o'clock or whenever they were actually swearing him in that I kind of was like, I'm not sticking around here. I gotta get out of Dodge. And that's like also like even just walking from the Supreme Court to the train station to get the Amtrak back, like I started to see like parties, like celebratory parties happening. And I was like, nope,
oh
I'm getting out of here. But I got there, I got in at like, I actually got to the Supreme Court where they were doing this sort of like people's filibuster thing where kind of the crowd was gathering and they had a megaphone and they were just like letting people take their turns, tell their survival stories or, you know, like any story basically about not being listened to or heard as women or as trans women or as like literally anybody. And that started in the morning. And then once they were taking the vote, everybody went over to the Capitol. A bunch of people got arrested for like going on the steps. I did not get arrested. I made the calculation in my mind that it was not worth it that time to get arrested.
I heard
maybe later.
I'm not sure if this is true or not, but I heard a rumor that the people who were arrested wouldn't be released until Tuesday because Monday is a holiday out.
Yes,
here,
I heard that also. Yeah. That was what the word was around there. I mean, it was pretty crazy. I mean, I didn't go up on the steps of the Capitol building because I went to go get food because I was very hungry at that point. But when I came back, everybody was kind of, they brought like a tour bus. Like the police had a coach bus for bringing away, like taking the people who got arrested away. You know, it was like 150 people or something got
wow.
arrested.
Jesus.
It was nuts.
And then you came home and drowned your sorrows in A Star Is Born?
No, before.
I know, before. I was like, yeah, I did. On Friday night, I saw it again, and it was great. I love A Star Is Born. We'll get into it in a second. But I was also like, okay, I did my escapism, like, Friday evening, and now I've got to go. Because I just anticipated sitting around in my apartment on Saturday when they confirmed him and just feeling like so useless and miserable. And so in many ways it was a selfish decision to go to Washington DC because I was just like, if I'm at home, I'm just gonna start pounding the wine, and that's like the most depressing thing I can think of right now. So I'd rather be there and like around people who are genuinely pretty inspiring. Like there's a woman there who's from Planned Parenthood who is sort of like, she was kind of the person who was telling us what was happening as it was happening inside the Capitol building and inside the Supreme Court, like as he was getting confirmed and everything, and, you know, being super real with everybody, but also like just so determined about like, this is not over. Like, we're going to keep fighting every step of the way for everything. And it was just like, I was very grateful to be around that and all the very real emotion that was going on there instead of like, in my Brooklyn apartment crying.
Being sad about...
I mean, I was crying there too, but still.
Yeah, but you were crying about Bradley Cooper there.
Right.
How tragic.
Thank you,
yeah.
Emily, for going to D.C.
Yeah.
And
whatever. It's like...
With, you know, I mean, no, it was nice too for Molly and me because, you know, you were sharing what was going on with us, and it was, you know,
yeah.
it does feel very isolating, I think, to watch these things play out. If you are not able to put your body there, you know, it's hard because I think I definitely wish I had been there, and it, you know, it was nice. Solidarity, sister.
Solidarity,
yeah.
Emily.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, I mean, I figured that would be the reason I would share anything. It's just like that, you know, like there are people there who are fighting this, you know, or like they're like doing an action physically,
yeah.
even if you can't. And that I feel like can be reassuring to know, even if you can't be there. So, yeah.
Well,
but
cool.
Anyway.
Today's episode of Night Call is brought to you by Third Love, maker of bras and underwear for everybody. We all, well, not Jack, recently got to try bras from Third Love, a bra company that makes the most sizes of any brand. They have 70 sizes, and they're based on thousands of measurements from real women. Third Love designs bras with breast size and shape in mind, which is great if you've ever worn an uncomfortable bra. You know how much that sucks. Their bras are super soft, they're well-made, and you don't feel like you're getting poked by underwires or chafed by cheap threads. You start with a fit finder quiz, which takes less than a minute and helps you find your perfect fit, even if your boobs are sisters, not twins. Besides looking great on its own or under clothes, I loved that my bra was tagless, which is always a pain in the butt if you have a tag that's poking you. They're super light and they have no slip straps. These bras offer great support without feeling like armor, so the feel is kind of like a mix between a bralette and a sturdier underwire. It's just like the perfect thing for under a t-shirt. If yours doesn't fit perfectly, you can exchange or return it, no hassles, with Third Love's perfect fit guarantee. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone, so today they're offering Night Call's listeners 15% off your first order. Just go to thirdlove.com/call to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/call for 15% off today. Well, let's take a night call.
Let's take a night call. This is a night email from, I'm going to say anonymous because I don't want to get them in trouble at their work.
All right.
Dear Night Call, am I morally obligated to keep people I don't like or agree with around? I work for a Minneapolis home improvement company run by conservative white guys. In fact, I think I may have been an equal opportunity employment hire, now that I think of it. Part of me wants to find a place to work where I can have arguments about things like the value of rap beefs instead of the value of rap itself. I don't want to live in a bubble, or do I? It should be said that this company has been good to me overall. I'm not leaving because I'm uncomfortable. More, I'm looking to try something new, and it's something I'm thinking about going forward. Also, for a brief time in America, hippos were going to be the answer to our food shortage. Happy night call.
Jack, what do you think?
Yeah, I think a lot about bubbles living in Los Angeles. And I mean, I do think that there's some value to being around like-minded people, because then you can, you know, motivate others and kind of motivate collective action, and together motivate Taylor Swift to come out and
yes.
join the resistance. But I don't know. It's so tough if you have to feed a family or just feed yourself, and you're, you know, having to eat shit on a daily basis from like somebody who just is, you find soul withering to your very core. Like, I've been in that position, and it's pretty terrible. And I consider it pure luck that I got out of that situation. I didn't like take a stand and, you know, storm out of the office or anything. So I think it's good that he's asking the question, I guess, and I encourage him to continue to ask it.
Well, it sounds like that he or she has an opportunity to go somewhere else. Like, it sounds like the decision to go to another job is already kind of taking place. And they're like, and if that's the case, if you are able to get into another job where you're not enriching people whose values you hate, then, like, definitely, by all means, get out of there. It's, like, obviously very real that sometimes the job you have is not one where you are sharing space with the best people in the world. But, and, you know, you got to look after yourself sometimes. I understand that. But, like, if you have the opportunity to get out, absolutely. Like, although workplaces where you can talk about rap beefs are overrated.
I definitely think that you would, if you can finesse the segue between jobs where there's no dead time, where you're not risking being unemployed if you leave, then I personally would do that. But also, I think the question also becomes, like, how conservative are these guys? For me, I think recently, you know, it's very easy to, like, if someone disagrees with you at all, just feel very allergic to them. And I definitely have that. But I also, I mean, if they're truly terrible, like white supremacists, then maybe leave.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless of what, I personally couldn't keep going in that kind of atmosphere. I think it's a question of, like, are they kind of clueless, like never Trumper kind of, like, people that sort of suck but aren't, like, actual racist, horrible people? Or are they actually, like, fascists?
Well, they sound a little racist if they think rap has no value.
Yeah. True. But I'm also, like, they could be, like, 85 years old.
Right. I mean, I guess it's, like, if you need a job, you're probably going to have to work with some people who you don't like or agree with.
Right.
Because that's what having a job is. But if you can get a different job where you don't have to do that, maybe go for it. It sounds like you don't love this job or anything. Too
and it's,
much.
It seems more like the issue, for me at least, the issue would be more, am I helping enrich people who suck less
right.
than, like, is my own tolerance for being around this rhetoric being challenged? Because that's going to be life for a long time. You're going to be around people whose views you hate. But if you're making people more rich so that they can screw over other people and vote and give their money to candidates whose values you disagree with, then maybe, yeah, that's another thing to measure for sure.
That's a good point.
Do you
yeah.
think that people have like a moral obligation to try and educate other people about ignorance?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Or do you think it's too difficult if that person is like your boss and you can't tell them they're being an idiot?
There are subtle ways to do it, I think. Even if it's just by refusing to agree just to be polite, I mean, I think that's something that you can do without endangering your job. Do you not think so?
I don't know.
This weekend, I got so exhausted, like, overhearing people trying to, like, calmly, you know, argue their cases to the MAGA people who were there as counter-protesters. And it was so exhausting. I had to, like, leave the earshot of this conversation just because it was bumming me out so much, because it's just like running up against a wall over and over again. And it's really depressing. Like, you wish that, like, you know, rational conversation could win out. But I don't know.
Well, it's like when they start making me feel crazy, which happens a lot, because it's like they'll assume like a faux rational kind of like, well, you have your opinion and I have mine. And it's like, yeah, but your opinion is like women aren't people. So we can't have a civil disagreement about this.
Yeah, I feel like those types of people or those types of opinions are getting to the point that they're so bad that it's almost indefensible. So, I mean, just making them defend it out loud at the very least will give you some peace of mind that, okay, well, I did what I could. Or, you know, you start a conversation that eventually makes you feel better about where you work. But actually addressing it, it seems like more and more just kind of being passive doesn't really work anymore. And that, yeah, I don't know. The selfishness you were talking about, Emily, about like going down there because you felt like you wouldn't like the feeling of staying around is still, that's the sort of selfishness that I feel like saves the species rather than destroys it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Be that kind of selfish.
And I hope that this is helpful for it sounds like unfun situation.
Quick question though, based on the end, if we were in a horrible food shortage and the only answer were eating hippos, where do you guys fall?
I've never tried it, but sure.
I wonder what it tastes like.
Chicken. I would go vegetarian probably first, but it's cool.
Yeah, but what if we need to eat all the hippos to deal with
the rampant overpopulation?
Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah, we got to do something with it.
I heard about jellyfish, too. Jellyfish are going to be the big food source because there are so many of them.
How do they have any nutritional value?
Yeah.
Good, nice. I like that we both think that way. Where we're like, well, if you're dieting, then yeah.
They've got calories in them.
They're probably like those weird cellulose noodles. You know?
They look just like that.
What I was just about to say.
They like dry them out and pound them down.
What's that called? Shiraki? No, something like that.
Yeah. I know you're talking
about. Shirataki.
Yeah, there we go.
Jellyfish noodles, wave of the future.
Today's episode of Night Call is brought to you by FabFitFun. FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box delivered 4 times a year with full-size fashion, beauty, home, fitness, and wellness products for just $49.99 a box.
Each box has the perfect mix of luxurious and practical products.
We love FabFitFun here at Night Call. It can be really overwhelming with like the flood of products overall, like beauty products, skincare products, everything, to find what you want and what you need and what works for you. And there's something really great about having FabFitFun curate these really great products that have all been tested by them to be sent to your home 4 times a year. It's also a really amazing gift. And again, all of the products in FabFitFun boxes are full-size products. There are no samples, so it's actually a really great value.
The fall box includes, in every box, the Glam Glow Bubble Sheet Mask, and there are two of those. And I used that one already. It's really fun.
Ooh.
And I got a Crown Brush 6-piece brush set in silver or black of makeup brushes, which is great because makeup brushes are something I've totally been interested in, but wouldn't have maybe gone out and got for myself, but just getting a whole set was really cool.
Many products' individual value is more than the entire cost of the box.
So sign up for FabFitFun today to get your fall box. The FabFitFun fall box is in limited supply, and these boxes always sell out.
So use the code NIGHTCALL, that's NIGHTCALL, to get $10 off your first box. Go to FabFitFun.com to sign up and start getting the box for a life well lived. Use promo code NIGHTCALL to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 worth of products for only $39.99. Go to FabFitFun.com, use the code NIGHTCALL, and you'll get $10 off your first FabFitFun box.
You know what else is the wave of the future?
What?
The past.
Nice. Yeah.
A Star is Born. We all saw A Star is Born. Emily saw it first at a film festival, and then we all saw it when it came out in theaters. And Emily also proposed that we should watch all the versions, and so some of us did take her up on that.
We tried. I didn't even succeed in that.
They're all on Filmstruck. We almost succeeded. I did them all except the Q-Core because I've seen that one before. Emily did the Q-Core, but not the 70s one.
I haven't seen that one.
Tess just saw the new one.
I watched the William Wellman one, and yeah.
Jack, how many A Star is Borns have you seen in your life?
Unfortunately, just the one.
Did you know anything about the movie going in?
I did. I had kind of read up on the trailer has been in heavy rotation in the Daily Zeitgeist offices to the point that when the song The Shallows actually came up, it was like this weird existential experience because I was hearing the full song for like the third time in my life, but I was hearing that clip for the 50,000th time in my life. And so I was like, wait, where? It almost felt like it was like clipped out and just like pasted in. But that scene was amazing.
It was. I got chills.
So can I create a safe space for us to talk about the movie and just let people know that there may be spoilers ahead?
Spoilers ahead.
I can't talk about the movie without spoiling
also,
this one
no,
moment.
Of course. Tess wants to create a safe space for people who did not like the music in the movie whatsoever.
It honestly is a space that is just intended to hold myself because I've read all the reviews. I know I'm the only person who feels this way, but I felt that way. I mean, honestly, I felt that way and I convinced my husband to feel that way after working on him for a really long time. I was like, you didn't really like it.
Why did you do that to me, though? Why did you do that to me?
It made me, like, cringe. It made me, I don't know. It's like, it's hard because I'm like, everyone else is feeling things right now, and I'm just not. And the only moment that made me feel something very deeply in that film, spoiler, was when he wet his pants at the Grammys. And I like got down in my seat. I like hunkered down and I didn't know whether I was going to cry. I was really disturbed and it was a good scene.
It's funny because like having watched all the other versions, like I knew that was coming. Mm-hmm. And yet when it happened, when they like got up to like, I was like, she's going to win the Grammy and then he's going to get on stage and make the speech because that's what happens in every version. Yeah. And then when he like wasn't talking, he just kind of stood there. I was like,
falling asleep.
He's gonna piss himself.
You knew.
I knew.
I didn't know.
Well, I was just
did you
like,
know, Jack?
Yes, I did. There's a lot of foreshadowing in that movie. There's an actual shot.
Did he drink like a whole bottle of water before he went on stage?
No, as he sits down, he's like, I was trying to go to the bathroom, but somebody like rushed me down to the seat.
Nice.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He was like, they pulled me out of the bathroom or something.
Whoa.
Foreshadowing.
So Molly, how does that play out in the other versions? Like, what's that scene like?
In every version, it's that she finally gets, like, you know, she's becoming a star and she wins
her
big award.
Of her career.
The award of her career. And he's won it before. And then he gets up there and just like ruins it by being so embarrassing. So
in the Q-Core one, he is like asking for work, which is really brutal.
Ooh,
like,
that's almost
worse. He's unhirable at this point, and he's like, "Well, you know, none of you guys will hire me, but if anybody know of any studio, it'll take me." Like, it's really bad.
It's really bad. In the first one, he's like, "Hey, they give out." Frederick March is the guy in the first one, and he's amazing.
He's
great. From watching all the versions, I was like, "Oh, this is such a great part for a guy." I totally understand why Bradley Cooper was like, "What a great part for me, Bradley Cooper." But in the first one, he's like, "Oh, hey, like they're giving awards for best actor. They should give awards for worst actor, and they should give them all to me."
What?
He's like, "Give me the award for worst performance."
Huh.
You know, fun this fact is, that the actress in it,
Janet Gaynor.
Janet Gaynor won the actual first Oscar for best actress.
Really? And she's a real... I mean, you know, this movie in every version, I was saying, I think one of the reasons it endures is it's about just like a weird looking lady that a hot guy falls in love with.
Wait, I have a quick question. So is the first one really
true? Sorry. And he sees inside her soul and he's like, she's a beautiful soul. And everybody's like, why are you dating that weird lady? And he's like, because I love her and I'm a drunk.
So the is the first real Star is Born called What Price Hollywood?
No, that's before.
But that's like what it loosely is
What Price
based
Hollywood?
On.
And there's all these real old Hollywood marriages that it's supposedly based on. What I had heard was that it was based on Al Jolson and Ruby Keeler. Then there's other people who said it was Barbara Stanwyck and her husband. But there's so many examples in Hollywood of like a star who started dating a starlet and then the starlet surpasses them.
Right.
That there are like a lot of people that I think are like, it was this couple inspired it. But the point is like, it could have been any of these people.
Yeah. It's a tale as old as time.
Yeah, and I saw someone making a good argument of like, well, the first one, it's about all these different heights of fame in different eras. Mm-hmm. So the first one is like old Hollywood, and the second one is like classic golden era Hollywood, and then it's like 70s rock, and then this is whatever this is.
Yeah, that was a question I had. Why would they update it with a rock star when rock music is totally non-existent?
I actually thought, because I was like, oh, it's a fantasy movie.
Right.
Where rock music is popular. But I thought they actually did a decent job with that by making him a country rock star.
Right, okay.
Because I was like, they know that he couldn't just be a rock star.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't exist. So like,
and she couldn't just be a rock star. Like, she couldn't just be, like, she has to translate that into pop somehow. Like, she's like kind of taking on almost Taylor Swift type model, right? Like going from, you know, singer-songwriter legitimacy to choreography, pop type stuff.
It kind of makes the most sense in the 70s one, because in the 70s one, he's like just a shit-kicking, like 70s, like denim tuxedo kind of rocker guy. Then she's like Carole King, basically. She's like a piano lady. You know, but it's like a time when a piano lady could become a rock star.
Right.
The only time.
Yep.
So that one is amazing because it's so soft rock and the outfits are amazing. And then at the end, it's like all outfits from Barbara Streisand's own closet. That's the only one where that's the only one where it seems a little bit like she's like happy that he died, because now she's the only person on screen.
Yeah.
And I was telling you guys, the romantic bathtub scene in that one is amazing because they are surrounded by Schlitz cans, empty Schlitz cans with candles in them. Like the meltdown stuff in that one is great because it's so 70s that it's like he like rides a motorcycle into the crowd. That's his big fuck up. And so the point is like he's not even failing as an artist. It's just he becomes uninsurable.
Right.
Because he's becoming like,
he rocks too hard.
He rocks too hard. He has too much rock star excess. He like shoots at a helicopter that's flying away with his manager, Gary Busey, in it.
Oh, my God.
And that's the one that's written by Joan Didion and Gregory Dunn, which is really interesting because there's like no memorable lines in it.
Really?
But also because Joan Didion and Gregory Dunn are a couple where the woman is much more famous than the man. So I thought that was interesting that they would that movie.
It's sort of funny that like both Joan Didion and Dorothy Parker have made their mark on the Star is Borns over time. And I feel like Lady Gaga has kind of similarly made her mark on this most current one, like especially given how much of the music that she wrote and worked on. Which is sort of interesting to think of her in that particular line of succession.
we were like, it's the movie people write when they realize there's no money in journalism and they have to go write a movie. Like, A Star is Born.
Jack, did you have a favorite scene from this iteration of A Star is Born?
It's probably The Shallows.
Really?
It's so great. It's so good.
Were you, like, really moved?
I think it was wishful. Like, it was, you know, like the idea of somebody getting to a huge concert and then like getting pulled up and just like unleashing this song that's been in their heart all along, and she sings so hard. she really lets it out.
She also does a better job of seeming like surprised by how good she is than Streisand does, who sort of looks like, oh, what? I'm great at singing? Who knew? It was originally going to be Bradley Cooper and Beyonce, which I also was all like when that was on the table, and it was going to be Clint Eastwood directing it because it's been bouncing around forever because I think it's in the public domain. You can remake it.
Oh,
there was
going to be a 90s one with Whitney Houston and Will Smith.
This one very much turned into The Bodyguard at the end also.
Well, she actually gets a number at the end, which I don't know about the 76 one, but the thing that always leaves a bad taste in my mouth about the other two is that the last line of it is her saying, I'm Vicky Maine, or no, I'm Mrs. Norman Maine. Mrs. Norman Maine, and everybody applauds, and like the victory of it is that she's like claimed by her husband forevermore, her dead drunk husband forevermore, which is like kind of a weird victorious note to go out on. And this one, like, she doesn't have that line, but she's still singing about how she'll never love again, which is a lot, especially considering I was trying to break down the actual timeline of this most recent Star is Born. I mean, it's interesting to try to break down for any of them, but this one, because it takes place now and it hinges on some events that we know when they take place, such as Stagecoach and the Grammy Awards. So you can kind of figure out how much time goes by.
You thought about this more than they did, I think.
Yeah. You guys are not on Twitter to the degree I am about Star is Born, but Allison Wilmore from BuzzFeed started asking about, well, first she wanted to know where Allie and her dad live.
I was totally preoccupied by that. Well, at first, I assumed it was Los Angeles. It looked like Queens. And then they were like, okay, we're going to drive on a motorcycle to Arizona. And I was like, whoa, where are they?
I assumed anybody thought that was Queens. That's crazy to me.
To me, it looked like summertime in Queens.
I thought it was Queens because he was Italian. Because we all know Lady Gaga's from New York because she never stops talking about it.
She never stops talking about it.
And so I just was like, her dad is like a New York Italian Queens guy.
Andrew Dice Clay is like broadcasting a burrow.
Yeah.
Right.
But then when they were driving to Arizona, I was like, oh, it must be Burbank. Because Burbank would make sense, or Van Nuys, because that would be where the drivers would live, because it's close
Italy.
To the airports. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like they live in like Altadena or Arcadia or something.
No, that was not that. Well, Altadena and Arcadia are very different places, Emily.
Well, I know, but like up in like north and east of Los Angeles, or like just east, as long, like, because the bar that they're in, he's like driving back to Los Angeles after being in Palm Springs.
I will tell you, I didn't realize it was Los Angeles until when they went in the grocery store. I was like,
Super A.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's my grocery store. And then I was like, no, I'm just projecting because all grocery stores look the same.
Yeah.
But then they cut to the outside and I was like, it is my grocery store. It's Super A.
See, I figured out it was Los Angeles when you guys just said it like 5 minutes ago. I was totally
thought it was
Queens,
yeah,
because that's where we put our Italian people. And
that's
yeah,
so
I was total. I was too busy looking for cues that he might piss himself to notice where what the setting was.
I decided, especially because he was country, I decided that he was Keith Urban.
I was trying to match him up, and since I don't know any country musicians, I was like, Jack, what?
Yeah, well, also because he's from Arizona, I was like, well, you know who the most famous rock band from Arizona is? Alice Cooper.
Oh.
They were a bunch of baseball jocks from Arizona.
Weird.
Who became freak rockers because, like, Frank Zappa told them to put Monster Blood on stage.
Damn.
But I thought it was funny that it was from Arizona, you know, everything about that. And the whole, like, him doing a Sam Elliott voice the whole time and then being like, you took my voice.
That was so strange that he specifically said, you stole my voice, when it was the thought in all of our heads.
Yeah.
So I guess they were like, might as well call this out.
I thought at first that he meant like he had like punched him in the throat or something at some point.
That is a valid alternate read.
Like Ursula from Little Mermaid.
Exactly.
You stole my voice.
Feeding the souls.
I liked how just the first out. I mean, I really liked the first half of this movie. The second half I had more issues with.
It's a little boring.
Well, my issues were more kind of like that. I felt like they didn't fill in that heart. The sort of like selling your soul part of it, of like, I was like, the lyrics aren't really that much better or worse in the pop songs than they are in the rock songs. It's kind of all the same. It's kind
right.
of, you know, like if they were trying to imply that the pop songs are bad. I felt the same way in La La Land, where they were like, here's the sellout song that like people who've sold out do. But then it was John Legend. And you
right.
were like, John
right.
Legend like can't make a song seem bad. You
right.
know,
that,
right.
that's a total failure, that part in that movie.
And that part in that movie, you're like, oh, I wish John Legend were playing the Ryan Gosling
right,
part.
Exactly.
And like, maybe this movie would make sense.
Yeah.
But I do think that musically the pop songs are not as good. Like lyrically, whatever, it's all like inspirational pop music lyrics. I think that you cannot deny that musically is something like Shallow is better than Why Did You Do That to Me.
what you walk around
what
with
you
an ass
do
like
walking
that?
Around with an ass like that.
Why
exactly.
you walking boy what you doing with an ass like that?
Yeah.
Well, What I loved about the first hour, though, is like it was all just like close-ups of people's faces. It was like
you like a good face movie.
I like a good face movie. And that's what actors bring when they direct. Is all they care about is like actors' faces, really close up.
Very tan face on
very
Bradley
tan
Cooper.
Face. Lady Gaga's face, which Tess has some issues with. I also did. I didn't notice
the fillers until you guys pointed it out, and I saw it the
once
second
you see,
I
you can't
saw it again.
Unsee.
Once you notice the bunny lines. Bunny lines is when you get Botox in your forehead and you can't move your forehead. So when you try to move your forehead, there are like these little squinchy lines on your nose instead. Yeah.
Like
when
a bunny scrunching up
their nose. And
she's got
I heard
the bunny
about
scrunch.
It for the first time through like Nicole Kidman because she had it really bad.
Yeah.
But it's like a thing you notice where it's like somebody tries to move their face and it can't move where it's supposed to move. So it goes somewhere else.
In one of the reviews of A Star is Born, that all of the reviews I read were positive. I could not find a good, like a solid negative review to cling to. And I had to admit that I liked this movie a lot more than I thought I would going into it. But in one of the movie reviews that was slightly critical, they were like, she can't move her eyebrows. So she does all of this acting with her eyelids. And it's like you have to acknowledge
she does
a great job of compensating. Like she's doing some eyelid acting that's kind of next level. So
it's
you have
amazing,
to give it up.
Yeah.
But I do. I wish like I mean, part of what's appealing about this character is that it's a character who refuses to change her face. And so it's a little hypocritical when, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty good at spotting these things where I'm like, I just wish she hadn't done anything to her face.
Well, we were saying this too, and I was like, but real Lady Gaga, like, didn't change her nose, but put other stuff in her face, so.
Yeah. Up for debate.
And in my mind, because I was justifying all of this, I was like, well, because she is a waitress in Queens, where this movie takes place. I was like, she's a, you know, who knows, maybe she, like, sprang for the Botox with her bonus or something.
Yeah. Well, that's another reason why it was, like, hard to believe it was L.A., is because a lot of people do wait tables downtown for sure, but it's way more likely that she would have been waiting tables and living in the Valley. You're not going to commute from Burbank or Toluca Lake or Arcadia or Altadena, as Emily thinks, to downtown when you could just as easily get a job at a local restaurant.
I think it was supposed to be any town USA. I don't think it was supposed to be Los Angeles. I think we all just knew it was Los Angeles because there were context clues.
It's clearly Los Angeles. I mean, like, what? Like,
Queensbridge, baby.
He lives, like, no, why would, how would her dad get to you know, to the house and everything? They just, like, live on the opposite sides of Los Angeles.
I can't picture, even though I know Andrew Dice Clay lives in the Valley, it's hard for me to picture him.
I know.
Oh, come on. No, this is what I was saying. It's, like, it's not unrealistic that a bunch of, like, a bunch of, like, guys from Queens would, like, come out to Los Angeles to fulfill one guy's Sinatra dreams. Like, it's like Entourage, and then they all ended up being drivers.
No,
like,
it makes sense. It makes sense.
I love the idea that they're old Entourage.
Yeah, no, it is old Entourage.
That's
it's like
great.
Downer 70s ending Entourage, where they all just became drivers and bragged about the famous people that they got to drive.
Please give us your thoughts on where exactly Andrew Dice Clay and his friends are living in A Star is Born. Give us a call at 240-46-NIGHT, or you can email us at nightcallpodcast@gmail.com. Should we take another night call?
Let's take a night call.
It's a night email. Here is a night call that comes from Casey. I was catching up on an episode from last month, and Emily was talking about the injustice of animal lifespans and how there was no rhyme or reason to them. I remembered reading an article once that said mammals all get about the same number of heartbeats before they die, around 1 billion. Ones with slower heartbeats just live longer because it takes longer to hit their heartbeat limit. Somewhere else I saw that chickens get about 2 billion beats on average, though, so they definitely get a better deal than most animals. Happy night call. It's
what?
A very sad night call, in fact.
I think it's an uplifting night call.
It depends on how you think about it.
It's kind of beautiful.
If we can all just if we can slow our heartbeats down, we could live forever.
I think that's why meditation might be the trick.
Oh, because meditation slows your heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
If we agree that chickens deserve to live longer than our loved ones, that was a good email.
We were talking recently about how chickens have a strangely long lifespan. Like, they stop laying eggs and then just kind of go on longer than you would expect. I've been eating a lot of chicken recently thinking about this because I'm like, it would be a horrible overpopulation problem. They're temperamental. Molly's looking at me like she's
no.
Just
I was
so
just thinking about keeping like a yard of hippos.
Oh,
like
good job. Which
like
is
a hippo coop.
Yeah.
How many beats per second does like a bug's heartbeat?
A bug's life.
a bug's life left?
I don't know. That's a good question.
How about lizards?
Well, I don't know if anybody saw the, there was a viral video about a tegu, a lizard named Winston, who was a tegu. Maybe not. Nobody,
no.
Nobody. All right, so this tegu, tegus are very intelligent lizards that can be trained to use a litter box or respond to a clicker and do commands. And there was a video about a woman who had a tegu named Winston, and he like sought human contact. And she was like, I thought he was just seeking heat because I'm a heat source. But then it would be like warm enough in the house, or he would leave a heat source to come visit her, and he would like climb up on her shoulder and nuzzle her. So I was at a birthday party over the weekend, and there was a tegu, and the guy was like, this is the best lizard you can get. And I think that they live like 15 to 20 years. And then chameleons, there's a huge range. Some species of chameleon live like 2 to 3 years, and others can live up to 10. I had a chameleon who lived to be 9.
Does that mean a tortoise has the slowest heartbeat?
It's a good, well, that's a good question, because they are one of the longest lived creatures. And they do, I think the sulcata tortoise lives between like 70 and 100 years, maybe even older. I think it's hard to tell.
And who dies really fast, like a fly?
Yeah, mayflies have like 24-hour lifespans.
They're just whirling. You
know, I've wondered if they, like, subjectively from their perspective, we're like as slow-moving as trees are to us because our lifespans are so much longer.
Yeah.
And I've decided we aren't.
What about hummingbirds? Don't hummingbirds have to, like, they have a really,
very fast heartbeat. And
yes.
So do bats. We'll get into the whole thing with bats at some point. Bats, almost all bats have rabies, I read.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Got to be careful with the bats. If there's a bat in your house, you might even need
I thought there was no reason to be afraid of bats. I thought that that was all, like, just superstition or something.
No, man. This comes from the Legal Advice Reddit, and they say that if you, like, bats can bite you when you're sleeping, you might not even know, and, like, such a huge percentage of bats have rabies. And I love bats, so it's hard to hear. Yeah.
Why did you become Batman, right?
Yeah. That is, yeah, exactly. You either get rabies or turn into Batman. Roll the dice.
See what happens. Or like a vampire.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
And worse than that is that bat guano, if there's a lot of bat guano in your house, for instance, then the particles, you can get respiratory infections that can kill you. Oh, it's all on Legal Advice Reddit, I'm just saying.
Why is it on Legal Advice Reddit?
It's the best Reddit ever.
Can you
because
sue
you can
the bats?
This is about whether it was a condemned house question. Should a house be condemned? And does the family, whatever. It was a long, long post. It was up late thinking.
I feel
about
like there
one.
Must have been a house episode about getting respiratory illness from bat guano.
Oh, for sure.
Jack, are you familiar with the murder board?
I am, yeah.
Jackson?
I'm a fan.
He's a devout listener.
Okay.
Jack is a night bat, which is what we call our fans as of right now.
Night bats. Hashtag night bats.
Night bats. Night bats. Yeah. Night gang. We call our fans Zeit gang.
We had a call from a listener who is a woodworker who was being asked to make an Ouija board from wood that had been sourced from a house in which there was a grisly murder, I guess within the last couple of years or something. And it was a big moral quandary that we were sorting through. And he eventually decided to make it, to take the money, which apparently was not insubstantial, and to make the murder board. So we have an update from him about the murder board.
He sent a photo.
Two photos.
He had said there was some discoloration in the wood, a dark spot that he wasn't sure if it was blood or not. It's blood.
It very much appears to be blood.
We looked at it and we were like, that's blood or ketchup. No, those are the only things it could be.
It's 100% blood.
It is 100% blood. And he was like, nothing bad has happened yet, but I've been having really dark dreams all the time.
That's how they get you.
That's how it starts.
I told you not to do it.
He did also promise to keep us posted and let us know when he's finished and send us pictures
he
of the...
He seemed a little bit like he was having second thoughts, though.
Oh, you think?
I mean...
I don't know.
You guys are the one who were like, do it.
I'm happy he's doing
it. Just see what happens. Mm. Just let that little cutie bat bite you.
Gotta be brave, gotta be bold.
The thing with this is I can't tell what's, like, it looks like ketchup. It's so drizzly and weird. Like, it looks like steak sauce. I mean, it does look comically like blood. That's the thing. Like, like there's, it looks like a something from the set of Dexter, like right. like splatters that you could track.
They use real blood on that show. I don't know if you knew that, Emily.
Ooh, it looks like animal blood?
Nah, JK. You.
I believe it.
Is this pre, he hasn't started carving it yet?
He's in the process.
Okay.
Yeah, this is like a work in progress shot. Yeah, and then I'm really excited to see what it looks like when it's done.
Yeah, I mean, he's already been damned by starting the project, so there's no point.
Right now.
I want to know about his dreams.
Oh, yeah, please tell us more about your dream. We need more detail.
We should have more episodes about dreams in general. Like
yeah, tell
dream
us some.
Interpretation.
Ask us your dream questions.
Because I've been having some freaky dreams lately, but I feel like we're getting to the end
like
of this
podcast. I feel like a
lot
of people have been having really scary dystopian dreams because we live in a hell world.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jack?
Yeah, it seems like blood. It seems like an actual murder took place on top of that board.
Yeah.
Because there is like some drizzle that looks like it could be you just Google image search blood splatter,
but
then there's
like
also
a haunted
this
house.
But like, then there's like a big splotch that is like, I don't know, it looks like there was pooling there, and I don't know, that convinced me.
Pooling,
and I am an
expert. Yeah,
Jack.
Not at all.
Would you tell the guy to make the murder board or no?
No, I think it's a very bad decision. Wow. It is like welcoming a bat bite onto your soul.
One vote for.
I mean, but I would tell him to do it because I'm curious to see what happens
there
to him.
Go.
I would not do it, I guess, is
the
way to.
Do it for the Schadenfreude.
Yeah.
I like how all of our questions are like, should I give up my livelihood because I'm going to be...
right.
If I might, like, be cursed.
Right.
We're cursed already. Newsflash, we are all cursed.
We all might be cursed by proxy, by cursed. Encouraging.
Yeah.
But yeah.
The it's gig economy happened. Is a curse.
That's true.
Can I ask one question of everybody? What's your favorite romantic movie? Was anybody a Titanic person? Because I was definitely not.
I'm not into the romance in Titanic. I'm into everything else about Titanic.
You're into the infrastructure
into the ship,
failing.
I'm into the infra. Yes, I am. I mean,
the romance is between the ship and the glacier.
It's true.
They're drawn
they
together.
Can't touch.
You love Moulin Rouge, though. I will.
I like Moulin Rouge, and I like Romeo and Juliet. I like those Baz Luhrmanns. I'm a big Wong Kar Wai sucker. He's
probably
my most romantic filmmaker, and probably like, I mean, like Fallen Angels is not like a happy, like nobody ends up together in Fallen Angels, but that one definitely is like a mood that I appreciate.
How about you, Jack?
I really liked Notting Hill when I saw it.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Sure.
But I liked that a lot.
You're just a girl standing in front of a hill.
That's the one.
What about you, Molly?
I love that Baz Luhrmann Romeo and Juliet so
it's
much.
So
that was a good one.
I love Dr. Zhivago.
Oh, yeah.
And I also love Reds. Reds is my favorite.
Reds is great.
Tragic, long romance. Very good. Check it out. It's very timely.
Yeah.
Tess, how about you?
I like Punch Drunk Love.
Oh, great answer.
Oh,
yeah.
Good answer.
Oh, yeah, that's totally
you win.
I was just waiting.
Answer.
I was like, I'll go last.
Mine's Punch Drunk Love, actually.
Yeah, we actually all changed our answer.
Punch
right
Drunk
now.
Love, actually.
There is.
That's also a good one.
Love, actually, not actually my favorite romance.
Well, I think that does it.
Well, thank you very much, Jack, for joining us today. And
thank
for
you guys so much
in.
For having me.
That does it. Should
Thanks
we all
again
sing?
To Jack.
Whoa.
In the shallow.
Whoa.
That's Molly, by the way.
Wow. Did Lady Gaga just walk into the studio over there?
Her name is Allie.
Allie.
And it's
Ladies
very
and
confusing.
Gentlemen, Allie.
It's very confusing when she becomes a pop star and then she's not Lady Gaga, and I think they should have made her blonde. That's my last
thought. Absolutely. Her hair was terrible in this film.
The most romantic part of the movie? The eyebrow.
The eyebrow. Yeah. That is the best.
It made me be like, I like this movie. It's a good movie. It's just people looking at each other in the face.
Do you think they came up with the eyebrow thing just because she couldn't move her eyebrows? And so they were like,
that's such a good
let's
point.
Let's paste some on.
Yeah.
And therefore not draw attention to it?
Bradley Cooper, email us.
Yeah, really.
Coops.
Now that you said that, I keep thinking, because that shot of when she lies on the stage and they like zoom in on her eyelids and she's like, eyelid.
Yeah. See? Well, on that note, guys. Goodbye, brow.
Goodbye,
brow. And of course,
brow.
If you're enjoying the podcast, please review, rate, subscribe. I don't remember if I already said that, but it bears mentioning twice. And we will see you next week. Thanks again to Jack O'Brien from the Daily Zeitgeist. Check it out on How Stuff Works, on Apple Podcasts, anywhere you get your podcasts. It's really great, and it's every day. So props to him. And
Miles. Give us a call at 240-46-NIGHT, or you can send us an email at nightcallpodcast@gmail.com.
Do so that, everybody.
See you next time.
We're far from the shallow now.